Hello, and welcome to Project Hearthstone Become Legendary. I'm your host, Franco the Speedy Marifo, and this is Episode 2, Pirates. On this week's show, BJ, Dave, and myself get together in another chat by the hearth to talk about how I got on with my Pirates challenge and what pirate-themed nastiness I could come up with in my lab. Then, Dave and BJ take us through what the meta is like at the top of the tables and how the GVG release has impacted on the scene almost 1 month in. We finish up with some chat on the Hearthgnomes League, now into week 3, and how we've all been getting on. So, enjoy.
Oh, it's good to see you again. Pull up a chair by the hearth.
Welcome back to week 2 of Project Hearthstone Become Legendary. If you tuned in last week, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, you will have heard episode 1. We've had about 300 downloads and some really positive feedback, so thank you very much for that. Again, I'm joined by my fellow culprits, Franco Marufo. Hello, Franco, you there?
Yep, how you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. And Dave, just check you're still with us.
I'm still with you.
Okay, so that's the first technological achievement of this episode. We're all here. I've actually not had as much chance to speak to you, Dave, about Hearthstone. We were pretty much speaking every day about the game, weren't we, before Christmas? But I'm quite looking forward to this, just to catch up and see what you've been doing. But I suppose we should start with Christmas. What have you been up to?
Me or Frankie?
Yeah, that'll be you. That'll be you, Dave.
What have we been doing? Eating, getting stuck in the snow. For international listeners who may not realise that the UK shuts down should we receive half a centimetre of snow. So we were on our way back from Bamberia, which is like only in the Midlands. It's not even known. There's been a newsreel recently of some poor bastard in Canada who was on an 80-mile trek across Canada or something to go see his family, who fell off his snowmobile, and a wolverine, I didn't even think that was a real thing, attacked him. Well,
jeez.
It was a real thing. Good. I thought it was just an X-Men guy.
I thought X-Men was make-believe.
But when I read, I thought, fucking hell, Logan has attacked this poor bastard after he's fallen off his snowmobile. So, like, that's a dude that's living through some real shit. Here, it's like half a centimetre of snow, the whole place shuts down. So I had to abandon my vehicle on... What day was that? Was it Boxing Day? On Boxing
you had to
Day,
abandon walk... your vehicle, mate. Fucking hell,
dude. I use the word abandon. I've been using the word left, but abandon makes it sound much worse than it really is. But dude, it pissed me off having to walk through the snow at fucking 12 o'clock at night. That annoyed me. So, but it wasn't even that much. It was nothing. But dudes, people were leaving cars left, right, and centre. Just didn't know what the fuck was going on. Like, I watched a guy do a 360 at a traffic light. The slowest 360. It must have been going at like a mile an hour. It took him ages for it to come to a stop and do his 360. But so yeah, that was my Boxing Day night.
This on the motorway? People just getting out the cars and leaving them?
Yeah, you've seen it, dude. It's been all on the news, isn't it, and all that. Like, yeah, it was just.
He's just been playing Hearthstone.
I don't watch.
Yeah, he didn't watch.
He didn't watch outside things.
You ain't got time for news when you're trying to climb ladder, mate.
It's almost the end of season.
Exactly. Oh yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Eats into my Hearthstone time. So that's been my Christmas. So everyone else has been doing festivities or whatever you said before we came on air. I haven't. I've been getting stuck in snow. I've been stuck. I live in a village, so I've been stuck in a village for 3 days. Like, me and you, BJ, have got like a best mate called who lives in Prague. We barely get to fucking see. And I was meant to go meet him in York, in Yorkshire. I didn't go there either because this 1 centimetre of snow has remained, so we can't possibly leave the house, so I'm stuck.
It's brilliant when snow gives you an excuse to play Hearthstone, isn't it? It's brilliant, man.
It's perfect news.
That's pretty exciting, Dave. When you started that story and you were like, well, I've been eating, I thought, well, this doesn't sound like any different, really. I don't know why.
Well, I wanted to make sure that everyone knew I still ate.
And what about you, Franco? Because you've been tripping about, haven't you, with your new chick? You've been all across Europe and a bit of a Christmas market tour. Where did you end up getting to?
Yeah, we went through Belgium and Holland in a wee Christmas market tour. It was basically an Eden trip where we stuffed ourselves with chocolate 3 times a day, various types of waffles, various types of crepes, lots of footlong hot dogs. I can't really remember the places that we visited, to be honest with you, and the features therein, apart from there was a lot of tasty shit.
You were high on food.
More or less, yeah. I put on at least half a stone. You know, it was great. Over 3 days.
I remember one place you were, Franco, and that was somewhere in France, because I was on half stone, and I got a little message pop up from Franco, and it said, I've sent the chick out to go and explore the local surroundings and culture, you know, the country that we've come to. Sent her out for a couple of hours, and you were pretty much played solitaire on half stone, didn't you?
Yeah, I was as soon as Jade,
back to the challenge, back to the weekly challenge.
That's right. She says, I think I'll just go for a wee walk. I was like, yeah, you do that, yeah, that's fine. I'll just amuse myself here. I mean, I don't know how soon. And she's like, half stone. Straight on the half stone.
Is your chick's lot from France then, are they?
No, mate, no. You don't need to go to Europe just because... it's not the only reason for visiting Europe. There's all sorts of shit you can see there. You don't just have to... It doesn't have to be like an obligation, you know, that you need to do because someone's making you do it. Actually, it can just be fun in and of itself. Mate, our family's from Nottingham, you know, they're 15 minutes away. But despite that, we went to Europe...
It's like Franco. He's got family all over the world. Last summer, he must have met some family in the Maldives. The year before, it was the Caribbean. He's got family everywhere.
I can't see the point of travelling. There has to be a really good reason in order for me to do that.
Yeah, it has to be an obligation. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. You don't want it. Any excuse to not leave your house, including, as we've just heard, an inch of snow.
I love being trapped in.
Yeah, I know. I was about to say, you're complaining about it. You're like, oh, wait, I can't move. The UK just shuts down. But secretly, I know in the back of your head, you're thinking, this is amazing.
If only I could live in Canada with all the Wolverines.
Come on, you know Wolverine's not from Canada.
Oh, wait a minute. Wolverine really is from Canada.
He really is from Canada.
That is his story, right?
BG just dropped major game points out.
Oh, okay, this is turning into a conspiracy theory pretty damn quick. Was it the real Wolverine? He actually is from Canada. Maybe I got it all wrong.
It could be that Spike Lee dude knows, you know, maybe that's what he's based it all on. I'll have to have a little research of these Wolverine things. Right, let's get on now. What are we doing?
I'm going to have a quick word with Spike Lee. Well,
what about your Christmas in Butlins? It's not all about us.
Oh,
not
my
selfish.
Christmas. Playing Hearthstone, mate, mainly. I mean, I've been travelling up and down. Went up to, I'm obviously, my family's from the north, so we went up there, we went to a wedding, we went to Cambridge, and then in between, just eating and seeing people, just, yeah, trying to get a bit of Hearthstone in.
Was it all snowy in Winterfell, or was it?
No, it's been pretty good. Everyone seems to have had snow except me. We just must have avoided it, and we just got a load of rain. By the time we got back to London, it was just raining every single night, so... It wasn't too bad, but it's quite funny because I thought, you know, Hearthstone, there'd be nothing happening and no one would be on, but it's been quite funny. Just like you get half an hour, and I always like some of the little stories that you get from people. Like I play one of the guys, who's in our league actually, and he come on once and he was telling me that he was at his kid's birthday party and he'd snuck out of the room to get a little break from all the kids, and he was playing Hearthstone for 20 minutes. And I love all the little stories that come out and stuff with the true Hearthstone players. So anyway, let's talk about some Hearthstone, because no one really gives a shit about our Christmas. No. So, Franco, let's start with you, because last week we set you a bit of a challenge, right? We set you a challenge of go away and come up with a variety of pirate-based decks and the best possible pirate deck. Is that right? It was something along those lines.
Yeah, it was pirate-based, that's right.
Pirate-based. So what have you been up to, and what sort of decks did you come up with?
Well, I sort of concentrated on three decks, and I messed around with a lot of different things to see what was working. And I mean, the obvious go-to if you want to make a pirate deck is Rogue, because a lot of pirates synergize really nicely with weapons in general, and Rogue obviously is the only guy who can just, you know, summon a weapon at will. So the first few attempts at making a pirate deck was various forms of Rogues. And then I gave Warrior a go, because they've got access to a lot of different weapons, especially with the GVG release. They've got a few decent, like, cheap weapons that really buff pirates up a massive amount if you can get them out there. So And what I did was, in order to sort of make it all, you know, sort of introduce lab conditions and everything, I took three different decks that I've been messing around with. I took myself to rank 20 on ladder, so no matter what rank I was at, I put myself to rank 20 and 2 stars, I think it was, so that if I win one game, I go to rank 19.
And what do you mean? You just lost on purpose to go back down to 20?
That's
as a starting point.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. To just start myself at rank 20 and 2 stars. So if I win one game, I go up to rank 19. And what I did with each of the three decks that I ended up coming up with was I played 15 games with each of the decks, just to introduce as much lab conditions as possible, to see how they did in the same kind of, you know, situation, the same kind of ranks against the same kind of decks, hopefully. Mm. And essentially what I came to the conclusion was that the pirate decks are not super strong, but they can be super fun. And actually the most effective deck I found was the warrior pirate deck that I made up.
Warrior in the end.
Yeah. So I mean, I could go through it card by card, but you know, there's no point in that. I'm going to put the links in the actual show notes, so that any of the listeners can go to the web page or go to the Podomatic page where the podcast gets released, and just click on the links to go straight to the deck builders on Hearthpawn.
Yeah, so they can see the full deck.
Yeah, you can go and see the full deck. I mean, the general theme of the Warrior Pirates one is that it had 6 different types of weapons and a lot of buffs for the weapons, you know. Mm. And it was just very good because the weapons come out cheap, you know, the Ogre Maul and things. They come out cheap, and once you get them out cheap, because you've got so many weapons, you don't have to, you know, just use your weapons to kill minions off. You can actually just go to the face quite often, because you know that as soon as your weapon's done, you've probably got another weapon in hand to put straight back on again and to deal with any minions that are kicking about that you would normally use a weapon on. So there's no sitting around with the weapons like you do with some other folks when, you know, you equip a weapon and you could go to the face, but you probably want to wait until a minion comes out and then hit the minion before sort of wasting that durability point. And there's just lots of synergies, you know. There's just lots of really awesome synergies you can get, especially if you get like that Ogre Maul out quick. You can get Dread Corsairs out for free, you know, and buff up your pirates no end. And it's a very quick sort of aggro-y deck, the Warrior Pirate deck that I made up. It went 11-4 on ladder, and I ended up at rank 15 plus 1 star. So it's quite a good sort of little playthrough I had with those guys. And then I made up two roguey decks. One was a sort of, I think it's a, what you would say, standard rogue pirate deck, because it was more or less inspired by the decks that are kicking about on Hearthpawn. There's decent synergy in it, but really it doesn't take advantage too much of the weapons and things. Mm. It's more like at a core, it's a decent sort of tempo deck, but it doesn't specialise in anything. So I won 8 out of 7 games. I got to rank 19 plus 2 stars. So like no, I basically went 50-50 with it, you know. And that's the Rogue Pirates deck that I'll have up on the show notes. And then the sort of the most fun deck, but it was the least reliable one, was the Miracle Weapon Pirates deck. And I call it the Miracle Weapon because essentially it's geared around getting your weapon to the highest possible attack value. So that means just piling on deadly poisons and
the sharp
sword oil, that's it, yeah, those ones, all those things, and getting your weapon up to the highest possible value, and then using your weapon plus blade flurry to do a ridiculous amount of damage in one turn to the face of your target. So you can get your weapon up to like 13-14 easily, if you get the right combinations of cards in hand. And you know, the shock value of your opponent's on about 20 odd health, you know, like 26-28 health, and then you just kill him in a turn because you hit him in the face and do blade flurry, which obviously clears the table and kills him. You know, it's a big old hit to make in the late stages of the game, but it does take a lot of cards to get into your hand in the right combination, and you know, you need to survive for at least any sort of round 8 for it to kick off. But it's very satisfying. You know, it's very satisfying when it does kick off. It's a lot of fun when you actually do it, you know.
Yeah, that card we were talking about was Tinker's Sharp Sword Oil.
That's the one.
Give your weapon +3 attack. If you combo when you play the card, you also give a random friendly minion +3 attack.
That's it, yeah. So, yeah. Like, using that guy, I mean, you don't even need to combo it, really, to get the value out of it, because it's good if you combo it, especially there's one of the pirates, I can't remember off the top of my head, that's got charge when you've got a weapon equipped. So if you put him out, and then you stick that
South
card
Sea
on,
Deckhand.
That's the guy, yeah. So he comes out as a 5, you know, attack 5, plus the value you get on the weapon itself. You know, you can do quite a lot of damage, just almost out of nowhere, in one turn with that combo on the go. So it's got decent shock value, and like I say, it's got a massive threat range, but it's getting into the late stages of the game with it, and getting all those cards in your hand to sort of combo it up. It's good fun, but it's not as reliable. It's just a straight warrior deck, which relies on having lots of weapons, and then using the pirates in conjunction with those weapons. You know, the notable thing about the pirate deck, the warrior pirate deck, is that it works well as long as you start with a weapon. But if you don't start with a weapon, then you struggle, you know, you really struggle to get anything going, you know.
Although now, saying that, warrior always starting with weapons. I remember, like, last season when Hunter was all the rage, so I was using, you know, the Undertaker Hunter. The amount of times that I would mulligan Undertaker, and then they would have that 2 cost mana strength 3.
Fiery War Axe, yeah.
What the fuck? Every single time.
I know, man.
Unless I
know.
I was only memorizing the ones where they got me. But it seemed like it was a lot, all the time.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. Every time you're playing against it, the warrior always starts with Fiery War Axe. And then whenever you've got the... Well, with the amount of games I played, I remember playing 5 games in a row. And bear in mind, I've got 6 weapons in my deck. I remember playing 5 games in a row, and I did not start with a weapon in my starting hand 5 times in a row. I thought, what's going on? This is a fix, surely. You know, but I guess it's just personal experience.
How much healing you have in these decks? Because sometimes when I look at, like, different, especially, like, you know, in, like, you're on, like, rank 15, 16 sort of thing, and guys have a lot of weapons in their decks, sometimes I'm half happy about it because, yes, it removes stuff and I'm not happy about that. And yes, it can do, like, clever stuff, like you said, about, like, adding on +3 strength. But also, I'm always, like, conscious that you are, at the same time, knocking down your own health. So how much health have you got to pull it back?
Well, I mean, the warrior deck is the one that really uses weapons a lot. I mean, the rogue deck, obviously, it does use weapons, but it's about getting the combo up and getting that weapon up to high value before you use it, you know, so to make it worthwhile.
And then Blade Florine as well.
That's it, and Blade Florine and things, you know, quite often that's what's going to be clear on it, because you get your weapon up to, like, you know, you get your weapon up to sort of, you know, 7 attack value very easily with the rogue decks, and then you don't go for the critters, you know, you don't go for the minions, you're going for the face and then Blade Florine. But with the warrior one, because he's got so many weapons that are in the deck that are, they're very good weapons, you know, like sort of attack value 4 and things, quite often you're not hitting minions with it, so you're not taking so much damage. But also the warrior's got his innate ability, the hero power, to get +2 armour every time he wants, and I did stick a couple of shield maidens in there, and a couple of shield blocks, because it's obviously a really good card and it gives you a bit of card draw. So the warrior, I think overall the warrior was the strongest deck because it had more options than the other decks. Like, you could go to the face or you could go to a minion, and if you went to a minion lots of times, it wasn't the end of the day, because you're getting quite a lot of armour from various sources to sort of prop you back up, you know.
Do you think that warrior overall, in terms of that, do you think their weapons have got so much better? Because what's the new 5/5 drop that gives them 5 armour? What's that one?
Is she called
Shield Maiden?
I think so, yeah.
Buttons, is that what it is? The 5/5 drop. They're just everybody's fucking using them. Because I've been thinking, like, say, because people obviously sticking, looks like they're sticking 2 of them, at least 1, but 2 of them in. Obviously, they're good with Shield Slam and all that. But I start to think, with, like, Gorechild, Deathbite, and obviously Fiery War Axe, all so much better now, because you don't give a shit about taking damage. Like that Gorechild one, where its strength goes down every time. Normally, by the time you're equipping that, yes, you can take off, like, biggies. I mean, I think in the first, you could probably take off Dr. Boom if you really had to. But obviously, you're taking 7 damage. You're thinking, oh, shit. But you'd rather do that than he hit you every turn. But now, because you've got a potentially, you know, 10 more armor that's on you, has that made Warrior even better in terms of just where it comes to their weapons and how free they can be to use them?
Well, I think there was a difference between the Warriors and the Warrior deck with the Pirates and the Rogue deck with the Pirates. The Warrior had more survivability. You know, I had a finisher with the Warriors. You know, I had Grommish in there. So the warrior had the ability. It was really good aggro deck. You know, initially it can really burst people down very quickly because you get so many cheap weapons in there. You just go straight to face. You just forget about the minions. But also in the late game, you can hang in there because you've got armor. You know, and because you've got four sources of armor in your deck. Each of them giving you five armor plus your hero power. Plus you've got a finisher in Grommash, which combines really well with so many other things like the axe that you just mentioned and things. So it's I think that was why the warrior did much better than the rogues, because the rogues were just a bit more fragile, and they rely on getting to turn eight, but at the same time they're not as, you know, hardy as the warrior and is capable of doing it, you know.
Now, of the pirates, Franco, themselves, which of the pirates, were there any that, you know, before the challenge, obviously you had a bit of an idea about the pirates, but from playing with them for a good week or two solid, I mean, which of the pirates kind of excelled for you? Which ones did you kind of get to know that maybe, like, was there like a standout card that sort of surprised you a little bit or was better than, you know, you sort of learnt as you went? And which ones just kind of really didn't work much for you?
The Dread Corsair was a real surprise. I mean, normally he's not worth it, you know. He's a 3-3 tank. He's a 3-3 guy with taunt. But he comes out for free, with so many weapons. That the warrior can equip. So to get him, to get like the ship's cannon, I think it is called. The new Goblins v Gnomes M card. That's right.
Yeah, ship's cannon. Yeah.
Yeah. So you get the ship's cannon, and you can get two of him out for free. You know, to be doing that on sort of turn four or whatever, you know, it's quite a good play, you know, because you've already got a weapon equipped, and you can bring those two guys out plus one other pirate, and you can be doing six damage just from the ship's cannon plus your weapon. You know, it's a real powerful play early in the game.
Yeah, so if you get the right cards in your hand, it's really powerful, isn't it? Being able to play a 3-3 taunt for free. You can't complain with that, can you?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, and like I say, it combines really well with a ship's cannon, because the ship's cannon is like a knife juggler, but, you know, just twice as good, I guess. But he is keyed to pirates. Well, if you've got enough pirates in your deck, then it works out okay, actually, you know. And people go crazy in order to try and remove that guy, that ship's cannon, from the table. As soon as he's out, they know how much damage he does. He can just wreck decks, you know. And if you're sort of late in the game and you've not had to play much and you manage to put two of them down and, you know, a few pirates, it's just devastation. Like, it really just tears through whatever's on the table and does a lot of damage, you know. And especially again when you combine that with actually swinging to the face with your weapon, you can take 15 health off someone in a turn from what looked like just nothing, you know, just nothing going on.
And was there any of the pirates that you tried and didn't work quite so well? I mean, for example, in Goblins versus Gnomes, we got the new two drop pirate. I think it was a rogue only pirate. It's the one eyed cheat. It's two mana and he's a 4/1. And whenever you summon a pirate, gain stealth. And normally with the stats, that'd be obviously pretty poor, being a one health, but in a pirate themed deck, coming out with stealth and having four attack for two mana, I wondered how did that guy work out?
He's okay, to be honest with you. You know, obviously you do need to use him in conjunction with other pirates or he just gets blown away. But he's okay. You know, he's decent for that burst damage early on. You know, it's more the sort of high value pirates that weren't really getting a look in my deck. You know, it was I can't even remember them just now. I'll just quickly check. South Sea Captain, he was really good. Hold on.
Go on. What remind us? What's the South Sea Captain do again?
He gives +1, +1/+1 to all the other pirates that you've got kicking about. What's really good about that is that it's +1 attack and health. So it takes him out. It takes a lot of pirates out of range of like AOEs and things like that, you know. He became very useful. But that's Salty Dog. That's what I was looking for. That's the guy where he's new. He's a 5-drop. He's 7/4. But because he's only got 4 health, he's just so vulnerable. You know, like folks say, oh, you need to deal with him. And it's like, yeah, but you know, you can. And it's really easy to deal with him. You know, so I didn't get much use out of Salty Dog. As much as I tried to make him work, it was actually the lower cost pirates that typically came through for me, you know, the Bloodsail Raiders. And I mean, the Bloodsail Raiders were consistently very powerful in the rogue decks because they get the attack equal to the attack of a weapon, and you put two of them down in conjunction with like a conceal, and it's just so much damage coming next turn if the guy's not got any AoEs to deal with that, you know. But yeah, it was more like Captain Greenskin's okay, but you know, him and Salty Dog didn't shine through anything like as much as Dread Corsair, Ship's Cannon, who was not a pirate but works in conjunction with a pirate, and like so, even South Sea Deckhand, you know, getting that guy out with charge early in the game, he's only a one drop, it's a lot of damage early on, you know. Like I say, the Warrior Pirate deck has got a lot of burst damage, and you can beat a lot of people within sort of 5 turns just because you're equipping weapons quickly and then bringing out these guys with charge, and it just burns them down, you know.
Yeah okay, so
do you
so...
know what, you guys have just gone for, do you know, I don't know half of them cards that you, because some of them are just not prevalent on ladder.
Yeah,
I don't, I'm listening to thinking, which one's that? I'm having a look now, going looking at it now, thinking, what's that gonna do, what's that do? And Jesus, Frankie, do you reckon that if you play certain decks, which people, and I have been playing a deck I think this season that's a bit like that, but if you play a deck where people aren't used to it, people just make mistakes. They attack one when they should have attacked another one. And I think I would be one of them people, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking for you in ladder, mate. You know, but it didn't work out for me because I knew I'd smash right through you. It catches some people by surprise. You know, certainly I think you'll notice a lot of people just sort of spending a lot more time to think about what it is they're doing, you know. It's more against the sort of Miracle Weapon Rogue deck that I made up, because you do nothing for ages, you know. You just nothing, you're just, all you're doing is just like, and it's literally like you'll get like Assassin's Blade in hand and you'll just do nothing until Assassin's Blade comes out, really, and then Assassin's Blade comes out and you'll not even attack with it, and you'll help put up a deadly poison on it and you still not attack with it, you know. We're going to like turn 8 and all you've done is remove things and defend yourself as best as possible, and then roundabout, just sort of after like sort of roundabout turn 8 or just after turn 8, the weapon all of a sudden gets buffed up to like a 13 attack value, and all of a sudden the guy knows what's going on and he has a little panic attack. But yeah, in general, you notice people spend a bit more time just thinking about what it is they're doing against you, because it's not usual, is it? You don't see pirates kicking about on ladder, you know, it's not part of the meta. But if you use them in the right conjunction, you know, you can do a lot of damage. Like, you know, like I say, Ship's Cannon with a weapon in hand, a couple of Dread Corsairs, maybe even a couple of South Sea Deckhands. Like, if you get two South Sea Deckhands and two Dread Corsairs in hand, that's 8 damage that the Ship's Cannon's going to do. And all you've done is spend, what, 4 mana to do 8 damage. You've got 4 pirates on the table, plus the Ship's Cannon, plus a weapon in hand. That's not bad for turn 4, you know.
Would you say it's helped you learn a lot, Franco? Because you're like restricted to a certain theme, like Dave's saying, if you just play the meta, you learn the meta and you get good at that. But as it, you know, it's certainly not something that's going to catch you out coming against it now, is it?
What it sort of helped me do, I think this is why I would recommend like anybody just having a wee sort of play around with, like, give yourself a target, a theme, a, you know, a goal, an objective, and just have a play around with like various decks. Like, say I'm only going to play Shaman this week or something, and then just make up your own decks and go for it, not with any sort of ego thinking that you're going to do well, just with an open mind and trying to work out what works and what doesn't. And what it does is it just makes you better at building decks, you know. You just get much better at getting a feel for building decks. Like I was awful for it, just awful for not building my own decks, you know. It wasn't something I really took part in the game, you know. I just pretty much looked up decks, went, yep, play that for a while, and that's what I would do. But since coming off of doing the Pirates thing and thinking, right, I better get back on ladder and get back into the meta, I've picked up a few like different decks I've been kicking around since the release of Goblins v Gnomes. And as soon as I pick them up, I play them like once or twice and I'm instantly tweaking with them, you know, instantly just messing around wee bits and pieces. I play against decks on ladder and I go, oh, I see how that deck works, and I make up my own version of it immediately, you know, without having to reference anything, because I've got a better feel for, you know, what that process is all about, really, you know.
Absolutely. Well, you know, anyone wants to go out and try the pirates, it's one of the more fun themes in the game. So, you know, there you have it.
You got quite high with it, didn't you, Frankie? Didn't I see you were level 12 or something, weren't you?
No, I got rank 15. I'm at my best with the warrior. Yeah. With the warrior pirate deck.
But if you're only playing 15 games and you started at rank 20, you're not going to get much higher anyway, are you?
I won 2/3 of my games. You know, I won 11 games out of 15 is what I won with the warrior pirate deck. That's a good run. You know, it's a good run. And I think it's typical as well of that deck at that level. You know, it gets more difficult. I think the highest I got was like you were saying, Dave. You seen me about rank 12. That's probably the highest I got with the warrior deck when I was just messing around with different decks, and I probably sat around rank 12 with the warrior deck, not really going anywhere higher or anywhere lower. That was the best I got, you know.
All right. Well, moving on then. Before we go on to you, Dave, and your week, just let's just set Franco. If we can just set your challenge for next week, so if those listening, go away and have a bit of a play and come back.
Of course. If anybody wants to take my decks in and do much better with them, I'd be more than welcome hearing about it, because obviously I have a limited amount of skill. And there's a massive limit on that, so I'm sure any of the listeners out there, or at least 75% of the audience, could pick up these decks that I'll be posting on the show notes and do much better. So if you do pick up these decks and you want to have fun with them, let us know, you know, exactly how well we did, and maybe I'll actually pick up a thing or two, and not just how to build the decks, but how to actually play them too.
Absolutely, yeah. It'd be great to see people taking your theme and then, you know, doing better and finding tweaks to the decks, and if you just add this or this combo, absolutely, that'd be super, super cool. So for this week's one, this one's actually inspired by one of the tournaments that happened I was watching this Christmas, which was the ESL Legendary Series Week 5, and I was looking at the final, and it was Darkwonix versus Slow. Or show, I think it's show actually, it's SJGOW. And Darkwonix was playing a really, really interesting Warlock deck. And I won't go through the whole deck, but one of the things that, you know, the big thing about the deck was the finisher, and it was a combo. And so what I wanted to do, Franco, for this week's challenge is to set you to go away and to come up with some of the best combo decks that you can come up with. So, for example, in Darkwonix's deck, his combo was the Arcane Golem, which is the three mana, charge minion with four attack. And then he would play a double Power Overwhelming, which would put it up to 12, and then Faceless Manipulator. So in one turn with 10 mana, he can basically do 24 damage from his hand, right? So that was Darkwonix's deck. What I want to do is set you a challenge of to see what kind of combo decks you come up with. And I think the reason why I think this will be an interesting challenge is not just obviously the combo and how much damage can you get out of it, but it's like you just said a minute ago, it's about making the rest of the deck work. You know, so for example, he used Warlock there because he had the great card draw, so he could just tap every turn and get to the combo quicker. So there's lots of, you know, how do you survive? How do you control aggro before you get to the combo? How do you play it different against control decks? So there's quite a lot that we could learn from that challenge. So yeah, if you go away and come up with some of the best combo decks, and then get back to us on how you got on with that next week.
Yep, sounds good. I think one of the decks I'm playing about with on the ladder is along those lines, to be honest with you. It looks for that big finisher. So yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
And then you can tell us about, you know, all the different combos you came up with, and the synergies and that sort of thing. So that's for next week. So moving on to you, Dave. As I say, we've normally been catching up and talking about our ladder progress, and before Christmas we were speaking almost every other day about it. I haven't had as much chance because we've been busy with Christmas. Excuse me. So what have you been up to? I know obviously we've been busy with Christmas and stuff, but when you've been catching a bit of time. You've been playing a bit on the Android, I've heard. And what sort of decks are you focusing on, how are you getting on ladder?
Oh, yeah, I should just say, by the way, it is absolutely brilliant and easy on the tablet, by the way. So I haven't got an iPad. I bought I don't know what I bought. Can you remember what it was, BJ? No, I went, was it Samsung? Was it Sony? No, or am I thinking Sony because of that film that's come out? I can't remember. Anyway, I've got it around this. Oh, no, I haven't. I've left it. But anyway, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. It's so easy to play. you know, I heard some people that were saying, oh, you know, it's going to be a bit clunky. It's shit to do messaging with. And it's a bit weird. You know, if you're mid-game and someone messages you, it can be a little bit weird, but it is just super easy. The best thing that's super easy about it is it's not like, not that laptops are massive now, but, you know, they are bigger and it's just so easy. Just turn it on and then just go straight in. And it's small enough and that it doesn't seem like, you know, if you're in a room full of people and like at Christmas, then you're with a room full of people for the day. And at different points, you know, people go to their phones or whatnot. Well, that's okay. That's indiscreet. Well, you can't just bring out a fucking laptop and start playing Hearthstone in front of everyone. People are like, oh, what's this motherfucker doing? But what you can do is bring out your tablet. That is indiscreet enough because a lot of people are doing that already. So, and I love it all. I love not only that, but the spectator mode is good. Although someone sort of mind you were telling me the other night, but yeah, so it's, I've loved it on that. What was your question?
I don't know, but you're making me want to go out and buy a blooming tablet now. Because I'm the same. And it's so annoying when you're lugging your big laptop. I've got a 15.5-inch laptop, and it's so frustrating. I definitely need to get a tablet. But yeah, we were just saying, what's been your focus? What decks have you been trying? What are you focusing on at the minute, and how are you getting on ladder? And also, right, just right. Remember, you know, we're still quite new into GVG, and, you know, how are you seeing the meta change, and what are you learning?
Well, I think I'm on a crash course of learning, and you know, this is now season 3 for me, and I had hoped to make a real push for Legend this month, and I think I'm gonna. So what I'm gonna do tomorrow is that because Christmas has really kind of got in the way, I'm not gonna go on the tablet. I'm gonna set my computer up and have dual screen going on, all that kind of stuff, ready just to play a proper day on it, because I've got to rank 3, and I now know that I've got to win 14 more games, and that'd have to be in a row as well, in order to reach Legend. But that's not really my primary goal. My primary goal is to get to know every class superbly well. And what I think I know is I think I know Shaman very well, and I think I know Hunter very well, which is the two that I did in the first two. Do I know them perfectly? Absolutely not. But I know them, you know, well enough to get fairly high on ladder with both in my first two seasons. And so I was tempted to push for Legend, and our coach, the guy that coaches us, said, you know, you could push for that. But I think what I wanted to do instead was move across the classes. So I had a little fiddle around at the beginning of the month. And then what I've done is I've started looking at Druid. So I've been playing with Druid this season. And pretty much I think probably because of my skill set, I'm not at the point where I can just jump around in races. What I've done is I've pretty much just exclusively played Druid. Unlike Frankie, I cannot write a deck, but I can tweak a deck. So our coach will give us one or show me one, or you, in fact, you, the one that I've done best with, you gave me the beginnings of it, BJ, where you were talking about the concept for it. And then I've just messed around with it since. Mm. And then just sort of play, you know.
For those listening, we're talking about double combo based Druid here, aren't we? So we're talking two Force of Nature, two Savage Roars, and it's all about trying to draw into that with some sticky minions and get the big finish.
Well, kind of. Actually, the one now that I've got to level 3 with is, I mean, in my deck here, it's just called Shut Up Druid, but what it really means is Silence Druid. So it has got all the stuff that you probably are seeing on ladder. It's got two Innovates, two Wrath, two Savage Roar, and I've got two Force of Natures, and two Druid of Claw, two Swipe, two Ancient Law. So all the usual stuff that you've got there. But then what I've gone is I've gone into like stuff that you perhaps are not seeing in many other Druid decks. In fact, I think I've made a note. I've got a little sad Excel spreadsheet that I've seen only two decks on ladder that I've played that have, and that's against any classes that I've been playing with that have played this deck. And so what I then take is some neutral cards. Like I've got two Ancient Watchers. I've got two Death Lords, two Ogre Brutes. And then I've had a mess around depending on what I've got going on. But then I've also got one Fel Reaver, which is the 5-drop, 8/8. I feel like he's a giant, but I don't know what his story is behind. But he's very powerful. He's got a massive downside, which I'm going to come to in a minute. But then what you'll do is obviously you realize that Ancient Watchers, they are 4/5s or 5/4s. They can't attack. So they just kind of sit there. So what a lot of, like, you see the guys in Handlock do is they jump them out and then they whack the Sun Fury protectors or the defenders of Argos next to them and then stop people getting through. But what I'm doing is I'm using it in conjunction with like Keeper of the Grove, where I'll jump him out and I'll unsilence them. Or better still, if I can have an Ancient Watcher who doesn't attack, if I can have a Death Lord out, or I can have an Ogre Brute. And the problem with the Ogre Brute is he's a 3-drop. I think he's a 4-4.
Yeah.
He's massively nasty. If you can get Innovate off, which, and what Innovate does, and, is it gives you 2 extra mana crystals for that turn. If you can get Innovate off, suddenly then you can, and that's in the first turn, suddenly you've got 3 mana to play with. You can drop this Ogre Brute. And now he's tricky for anyone to play with in one turn against, at turn one. But his downside is he's only got a 50% chance of hitting the target that you want.
He's an ogre, isn't he? Yeah.
Well, look, go on, what are you going to say?
He counters so many of the awkward turn one drops as well and turn two drops. Like in Priest, you know, when they've got the little Northshire cleric.
Yeah,
you've got the Armorsmith from Warrior, which is a 1-4. You know, those things that are sort of awkward, even for things, you know, like usual spells to get rid of. You know, him with his 4 attack, he counters them, and even some of the new like 2 and 3 drops, like Spider Tank, which is a 3-4. The Ogre guy will trade with that and still have 1 health left. But like you said, the downside is his 50% drawback. So how are you getting around all these drawbacks?
Well, I mean, it's not only his drawback. I mean, like the Death Lord, which is a 2/7 taunt, so he's massively good. Again, he's a 3-drop, I think 3 mana to drop down. Super good, but his drawback is, which is why I think I used to see this guy a lot in Zoo, but I could never really understand why the Zoo players were playing it. Because, oh no, that's a lie. I could see why you would play a Death Lord on ladder in Zoo, but because his downside is that when he dies, he throws a random card from your opponent's pack onto the board. So that could be anything. I mean, that could be
Ragnaros.
It could be Rag for all you know. Yeah, who knows what's going to come on out. I mean, it could just be something shit that is great. You know, you thought, oh, brilliant, he had a great battle cry that he's just lost, you know, because the battle cry doesn't happen. But it's a bit random. So I can see why you would do that on ladder, because, you know, if you're going to play 10 games and it fucks you once, okay, that's 1 game out of 10. It ends up bad. In a tournament, I wouldn't go anywhere near it because I'd be too scared that it's going to let me down. But what I'm obviously then doing is I'm using Keeper of the Grove, but I'm also using, I've got 2 Wailing Souls in this deck. So the dream is if you can have your Sun Fury Protector out, if you could have your Ogre Brute, and let's just say the dream is, on occasion it can happen, you've got a Death Lord. And normally that Death Lord now is no longer a 2/7, he's a 2/1 because he's got smashed in the face a couple of times because he's the Taunt. And then you whack the Wailing Soul out, and what the Wailing Soul's battle cries is it silences everybody on your side of the board.
Yeah.
That's perfect. And now what it is all the downsides that you had going on, all the downsides are there. So you've stopped them all, and now you can just kind of do what you want. The Ogre Brute goes where he wants to. And in saying that, though, that Ogre Brute's not too bad. I mean, even if you never get out of Wailing Soul or Keeper of the Grove, he's not too bad.
Yeah,
you know?
And he ignores taunts. Sometimes his thing works for you. Like, he can ignore taunts and things like that.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, he can do, you know, and a Death Lord throwing out, it's not the end of the world on ladder, you know, to be happening. I mean, originally in this deck, I did have 2 Fel Reavers. And the Fel Reaver, as I say, 5-drop, 8/8, but his downside is that so once you've got him on the board, for every card that your opponent plays, you lose 3 cards. And the problem is you can fucking see them too. You lose 3 cards out of your own deck. So let's say I played the Fel Reaver the previous turn and my opponent's got like 8 mana to play with. Well, if he's got a lot of 1-drops, he may well think to himself, right, fuck this dude. I'm going to whack out 4 1-drops and a 2-drop, you know, whatever it is. So suddenly now you've just lost 3, 6, 9, 10. You've just lost 15 cards. And that can kill you. So, but again, if you can use it in conjunction with Wailing Soul, if you can use it in conjunction with stuff like Keeper of the Grove, suddenly you're good to go. There's no problem, and you're all there. But you just have to be super careful. When I started playing with this deck, I think, you know, I was back at like level 16 when I first started playing. I was losing a lot because I was getting way too greedy. I was like innovating out the Fel Reaver on turn five, or in in turn like two. You can innovate him if you've still got the coins. If you've got two mana, the coin's three, innovate is five. But my problem would be, which is super good, but sometimes that can kill you because what I would do is I'd have nothing to silence him with. So now what my opponent's doing is they can get a taunt down or they can kind of stop him. Suddenly you're out of cards and you've lost all your kill, all your win conditions. Like, you know, my Force of Natures, I've lost my Savage Roars. I've even lost things like Ancient of Lore, which is super important normally for drawing cards, not for health. So that's been a bit tricky. So sometimes I do innovate him out and sometimes I don't. It depends on the opponent. It depends on what I think, yeah, how many drops I think they've got, how soon I feel like I can silence this guy, because you just can't. So I've just put one in because it started to get a little bit, kind of silly. There's two additions that I've made that have been really important since I hit level five. And the first addition is that I've put in two Sun Fury Protectors. So for anyone that doesn't know what a Sun Fury Protector does is it's a 2/3 drop or a 3/2. It's a 2/3 drop, 2/3 drop for two mana. And you drop it down and it taunts up the minions on either side. And we're stealing the tactic from all Handlock players. They love using that all the time. And it kind of works, doesn't it? Well, because in this deck, I have got Ancient Watchers. So that's quite nice. I'm stealing that tactic. You know, an Ogre Brute taunted up. That ain't too bad either and whatnot. Because the issue I found is that the deck that I'm really, really struggling with is Mage. And it's that new techie Mage where they're Mage. They're knocking them out. And what they're able to do is get kind of board control very quickly. So they can knock down the, he's a 2/1 and then gives him, when he dies, his death rattle is that he's able to, I think he gives you like freeze or whatever it is that he can give or rewind and all that. Spare parts. You can give a spare part. Mm. So they start with that. They've got a one drop, but for every drop, they've got a 1/2/3. It's a bit like it's kind of aggro, but not. But what it mainly is board control. And with this deck, what I've noticed with the Druid deck, if I lose board control, it's very, very tricky for me to get it again. Cause I have got some stuff that kills at hand. Like, I have got like Swipe and I have got Wrath and I have got, if I really have to use it, Force of Nature, but I don't want to use that all the time, and that can get kind of tricky then, because I'm using up my win condition actually to just get level pegging again.
Yeah, I mean, you're describing Druid in general in that, you know, a couple of things Druid really struggle with is, you know, one is when they get behind, they don't come back well at all. This is a variant, but it's still a mid-rangey type deck. So you need to sort of be building tempo really. And the other thing they can't deal with is a board full of mid-range minions. I mean, they've got Swipe, which is a great AoE, but, you know, it's good against Hunter. It's good against things with lots of one-drops. But again, mid-range minions like Mech Mage, you've just got no way of clearing that board. Are you still running the Blood Mage Thalnos in that deck?
No. I am on occasion, and that's a super good combo, by the way, because it's really good with Swipe and
Wrath. Yeah, for the five damage to one minion, two to everyone else. Dramatically improves your AoE.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I mean, I am and I'm not. I mean, the reason I'm not is because what I've noticed from level five down is up to level five, I wasn't even running one big game hunter, and I'm just looking at we've got a tally for how many, you know, win-loss ratio and all that kind of thing. You know, I was running at 75% win with this deck down to level five, and I'm running no big game hunter. And in terms of warrior and in terms of handlock, I barely played it. I've barely played either of them. I've played what? Out of 68 games running down from 15-5 with this deck and bearing it up here and there, I've played Warrior five times and Handlock twice. So it's not around, you know, but since I've hit level five, suddenly now it's Warrior, Handlock, City. And there was loads of Zoo. I was playing Zoo every 2 seconds as well, which is why the Blood Mage Thaunos and Swipe combo was even better for me. So what I've now done is I've took out Blood Mage, for instance, and I've got in two Big Game Hunters, which is your suggestion. I think you said add in Big Game Hunters, and that has just proved massively important for me. So I went from level 5 to 4, and then I dropped both Big Game Hunters and thought, right, let's see if I can get by with it, because I'm thinking about, because I was losing to, like, Mage still. It's still tricky for me, and I was thinking that Blood Mage combo would be better. But again, I went straight from 4 back to 5, so and I was losing to Warrior and Handlock. So the minute I put them in, because they're prevalent, it was easier for me to get back from 5 to 3 and then kind of position myself for this last surge before the season ends. So, you know, I think that's a nice deck. You know, I've messed around with the Cult Master as well. Because when you've got like those smaller minions out, or if you knock him out and you have Force of Nature, so every time one of your minions dies, you're able to draw a card. I really like that. I've also messed around with I think he's called the Enhanzomech or something like that, whatever he is. So literally, you play him down and he gives your other minions Taunt, Divine Shield, I think it's Wind Fury.
Enhanzomechanicum.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Yeah. Mm. And the reason he's really good is because, you know, once you've got like things down, like your, if you've got your Ancient Watcher down, you've got no Sun Fury Protector, I whack him down. And if I've got even just two minions, he's really, really good. I've been super happy with him. But again, he goes in and out depending on, I think it kind of depends on what level, what I'm playing at that level. And I suppose play it by ear. Lothab's a staple mate. She stays, or he stays, whatever he is, stays all the time. I never really use it. But the Sun Fury Protectors have been so important because they've enabled me now to get an almost 50% win loss ratio against Mage. So as my overall average has come down to 64%. So it's gone from 75 to 64 since I've hit level 5. But loads of that was Mage. I was losing so badly to Mage. But what the Sun Fury Protectors have allowed me to do is just kind of keep the board and sort of keep up with them until I can run into my very, very good cards and then silence them.
And the two Big Game Hunters, are they doing well for you then, in terms of, are they mainly sort of focusing on giants? I know we've got Dr. Boom's one of the GVG cards, which,
yeah, I need to get. He's everywhere in the year.
He's
him,
probably the best, yeah, legendary, I think, that's come out of GVG, certainly so far. I mean, he seems to be in almost every deck, and obviously with him being a 7/7, he's perfect Big Game Hunter material. So BGH at the minute, like when we talked about it, I was saying put two in, because I know it snuck into a few tournament. Some of the tournament guys now are starting to run double BGH, just because Warrior and Handlock were seemingly being two of the most dominant decks. And even outside of that, like I said, even things like your Paladin, your Mage, they're still playing Dr. Boom, and occasional legendary, you know, Rags still about. People like that. So there's quite a lot of BGH targets at the minute, and they're working out well for you.
It is. It's just a balance, dude. You know, like, so Warrior is really, I think Warrior maybe may have had the best boost, maybe Mage from, you know, GVG. Like, Warrior seems to be everywhere. And I imagine playing Warrior is very good. If you're playing Zoo, or if you're playing the old school Hunter, which you still see. In fact, I still think Hunter's brilliant. Did you not? I'm sorry. I was reading a website the other day saying that, like, Hunter's gone, and I'm thinking myself, nah, I don't think it has. It seems super good to me. Like, it's still, when I'm up against it, I'm like, oh, fucking hell, really? Whereas, so it's not like they're an easy to kill, but so they're about, Handlock is now that everywhere, because it looks like Dr. Boom has jumped into there. Plus, they've got those two health bots. Those, I think it's like
healer
a
box,
five,
yeah,
drop, the 3/3, and then they give them 8 health back.
Massive.
Which I imagine, if you're playing Hunter, that probably really pisses you off, because as a Hunter player, you probably were running through them last season or season before, and now you're not. So they've become kind of, you know, I think a better. So what that then means is those four giants plus Dr. Boom, plus if others are messing around with, like, you know, some of them I've seen with Alex Straza, some of them take Ragnaros, and then obviously all of them are gonna, once you've got them down to nothing, are gonna be putting what's the dude they put back in where he's two mana where he puts a 6/6 out and he's got a weapon. What's his name? The main guy that Hanlock have got when they get down to like virtually no health, they bring him out. Duraxus, yeah, him. So
people must listen to you, Dave, and think. We should point out to listeners that Dave suffers from brain damage because people must listen to you with me. Has this guy got, say he's got to rank 3? He doesn't even know, what's that dude called? You know, he gets down to 12 and then he puts out 10 weapons.
Have you been to watch the Hobbit, the Journey Never Ends or whatever it's called?
Let's not get you commentating on that, otherwise the commentary will never end.
It kills me, all these names. I can't keep up with all these names. I need a story behind them.
What's that blonde elf one, you know, Gimli?
The one I fancy, Legolas. So I would say it's good. The only issue with PGH running 2 is that as good as they are then against like Warrior and Handlock helps me massively in terms of my win ratio. It ain't so good when you haven't got it and you've got him in hand. Worse, you've got 2 BGH in hand and you think to yourself, fuck's sake, you know, I'm going to have to play this now because, and he's okay. He's just going to get killed though, because he's only a 4/2. And if you're putting him out there just because you don't want to get behind on board, but you're not playing Warrior and you're not playing Handlock or you're playing some other kind of weird variant of them, but there's no biggies to kill off, that annoys you because you feel like you've wasted 2 possible minions, not to mention you've made it, it's like an easy kill minion unless it can jump behind a taunted Sun Fury Protector. So there are times, but again, that's easier to take, I think, on ladder when you think, well, you know, I'm playing the odds on, I'm playing the averages. This seems to be the prevalent and that's what I want to go and see whether I can, and see whether I can beat. So, good season so far.
Cool. It's a really cool deck, that one, the Wailing Soul one. I thought you'd changed and moved on, but you've just evolved it a bit. So, yeah.
I've been playing the Met Druid one as well, down to level 5, but that's the one I've been playing since level 5. And the Met Druid one is, you know, is very good, isn't it? Because some of them have got a lot. But I saw a lot of guys playing that, and I thought, well, I'll play something different. Because one of the best things you see is, like, if you drop that Fel Reaver, even now, you get that little red icon where you realise that people are looking at your card thinking, what the fuck does that do? Yeah. Especially if you're on turn 2, you've coined, innovated, and then you drop him turn 2. And people must be thinking, has this motherfucker just played an 8/8? And then they're checking it to think, well, that can't be right. And then they're looking, and then they, but when I, the minute I see them checking the red and it stays on it for a while, it's then that they're thinking to themselves, right. So that's got a downside because the more minions I play, but again, that also, because people have got to make a decision very quick, and that hurts them because they make the decision and they've got, so some people think, all right, I'll drop loads of minions to kill off his cards, which again annoys me because I do lose my cards. But sometimes I think you shouldn't have played that card. That's the wrong card to have played in that scenario, but they've played it just to make me lose cards, if you see what I mean.
So yeah, it messes with the tempo of your opponent.
Yeah, it makes
definitely,
lose
because
it,
it's an eight, it's a, like you said, it's an 8/8 that's coming out on turn 5. I kind of like a Faceless Manipulator with him as well, you know, after you've silenced him, playing a Faceless.
Yeah.
2/8/8 bodies silenced. It's a really cool deck. I mean, it'd be awesome if you can hit Legendary with it. But what have we got left? 2-3 days now, is it?
2 days. Well, yeah, we've got Tuesday and Wednesday. We're on Monday night now, lads. So, yeah, you know, get your ladder on.
I've got
24 hours is what I've got. Like, so I'm going to be spending
24 hours in your pants.
Morning. Yeah, that's the way. Because
no one's Skype Dave in the next 24 hours.
Cool. Well, I've been playing mainly Paladin actually since GVG. Basically, when GVG came out, I can't resist kind of trying new decks. So I would say that it's taken me a long time to play more than 5 games in a row with any one deck until about a week ago. And that's just because I've just been loving the GVG and just trying all the new decks. And, you know, even in the tournaments, the pros have just been so creative and they're coming up with new stuff and no one's got a bloody clue what's going on. That said, though, what do you guys think to GVG in terms of like how... Because I have a feeling that, you know, tip my hat to Blizzard, they've done a remarkable job at keeping the game balanced, because for all the innovations and for all the new things people are trying, there is nothing that's come out that I've seen that is, you know, is OP. Nothing's overpowered, nothing's broken. And actually, like Dave just said about Hunter, a lot of the old decks are still exact. You know, we still see the same archetypes. Yes, a few cards have changed, but we still see Handlock. We still see Control Warrior. We still see Combo Druids. In my opinion, that's a sign that this GVG stuff is actually pretty well balanced. What do you guys think?
Well, yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. I think there's a lot more variety on ladder now. Certainly, maybe not so much up at the ranks you guys are kicking about. But as when I dumped my pirate quest and just started picking up normal decks to play, and I've made myself from sort of rank 20 down through the teens. It's just been a massive just clusterfuck of decks. There's been no real
yes,
to it. You know, it's really good. It's really interesting. You know, really refreshing. And when I was looking at decks to make up, I was like, right, well, what decks are kicking about now? What is the meta all about? And it's everything. You know, so when I made up like 8 decks, and then I had to choose between one of them because there was just so many good decks kicking about. You know, and then obviously I defaulted the mage because I prefer mage over anything else, but it was nice to have a mage deck. It was nice to have a mage deck. There was a few mage decks, in fact, that were good, that work. You know, that you can get you up the ladder with.
That mech mage is a serious contender. It's
super nasty. Is that like I tell you what I was gonna say though, is that the theme of everybody's decks are pretty much the same, right? So like Handlock's tactics have remained, Warrior's tactics have remained, Hunter's have remained. Everybody's like the general consensus, and some of the key cards have remained. Like, it's not, yes, there's a different flavor. Yes, there's some totally different decks. There is that mage mech deck. There's a druid mech deck that I've noticed that's sort of knocking around. There's even one which, like, I've got noted here as, I don't even know what it is. Like, it's not Zoo and it's not Handlock. But so I just call it, you know, it's just called Warlock. Like, I don't know what it does, but it's a bit of everything kind of knocking around. But a lot of the decks are still the same. They're just adding in a different flavor or a different one or two cards that are super good from the GVG stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of goes back to what I was saying. I think it shows you that, you know, there was a lot of people who were quite worried, oh, these random cards are coming out and it's going to really destroy the skill in the game. Absolutely not. I don't think we've seen that at all. I think, if like Franco said, if anything, we've just seen a bit more variety and a bit more fun injected into the creative aspect. But still, the top players, you know, there are decks emerging, and like you said, a lot of the classic archetypes are still there.
I mean, to be honest with you, if anything, all it's doing is it's just throwing a bit of uncertainty into the mix in certain matchups where you think, I'm just done here, and then there's something random happens, and it just keeps you in it. Like, I was playing a sort of aggro mage deck against Handlock, and I thought, oh, this is just horrible, you know. I can see where this is going. I'm not getting through anything, you know. I'm not really doing any damage, but I managed to get to like sort of turn 8, and obviously he's got board control and I've got very few cards left, and I cast Unstable Portal and I drew Deathwing. And I thought,
oh my god,
you're done, because he had he put like a couple of giants on the field, and I think he hit me for like, you know, 16 damage that turn, but he hadn't been hitting me much, so that was pretty much the first thing he did. And then in the turn that he hit me with those giants, he put another couple of giants there. I'm like, well, all your giants are now on the field. So obviously I play Deathwing, kill everything on the field, and it's just like, I had to apologise, because I'm just like that unstable portal, that one unstable portal has won me the game.
You that know, is that's... so, oh god, that
What's
card,
Deathwing?
Man.
Which one's Deathwing?
Deathwing is the dragon that that comes out, and when you play him, he's a 12-12, and when you play him, you discard all the rest of the cards in your hand, and he kills every minion in play, apart from himself also.
Well, that's his battle cry.
That's
it?
His battle cry. He just destroys all minions in play, yeah.
And he's a 12-12.
He's a 12-12, yeah.
What does he cost? He's like a 10, is he? To 10,
yeah,
10.
He's like a 10, but Unstable Portal obviously brings him out for cheaper, doesn't he? So it was just horrible. And that's why now when I'm playing Mage, it doesn't matter what the matchup is, I'll just keep playing, because it's not the first time it's happened, and it's not the last time it's happened even, where Unstable Portal has won me the game. You know, just playing Unstable Portal has won me the game. I got Jiraxxus. At one point,
that's shit though, isn't it? Because that's no good, is it? Because he's going to actually go on the field, isn't he? Is that right? Is Jiraxxus just going to go on the field?
It's the same effect. He just destroys your hero, and then you know you become Jiraxxus.
Yeah. Oh, so he's still. So it's not that. So right, I was wondering.
No, it doesn't play the card. It just gets it in your hand and allows you to play it for two less. I think it is. So it's really good. And pretty much all the time. Sometimes you'll get something weird, like you get like ship's cannon, but you don't have any pirates in your deck. You're like, you know, but the amount of times it's won me the game. That one tiny little card has won me the game, and it's good because it means in those matchups where you think, I'm just done here, and normally you might even quit out, you know, very early on in the game because you see how it's going. I'll just stick around to see what Unstable Portal does, because it can do something pretty nasty, and it can win you the game, you know, and it keeps you interested, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there are some staples, aren't there, of GVG? There are some certain cards now, I think, that you pretty much, either when you see the class or when you see them, you know, you're not at all surprised, like, you know, like Clockwork Gnome, that's all over the place. Cogmaster, I'm seeing that in the mage decks. Annoyatron, that little annoying fucker is in everything. He's in like Zoo, he's
hello,
in Druid.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, he is annoying. Explosive Sheep, I think my favorite, which is in that, when I was playing that Met Druid deck, was the Met Warper. He's probably my favorite. I really like him, just because his ability, that means that, you know, all the rest of your mechs cost one less. I've said Ogre Brute, but I don't think the Ogre Brute is actually that common. I'm not seeing it all that much. Tinkertown Technician, he is everywhere. Again, he's in all the new Mechie Mage decks. Mechanical Yeti and Piloted Shredder, I would wager, are they two of the most popular? They seem to be a lot.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of those guys, yeah.
Obviously, that Antique Healbot, I think he is super, super good.
He's so powerful for eight health back, you know. I mean, obviously he's only a 3/3, but on a 5-drop, that is, to play a minion and get 8 health back, it's just outstanding. Really. Plus, obviously, the Recombobulator guy, who Handlock people have been playing,
yeah.
You know, where he comes out and he just, you know, you use your giant to clear minions and get them down to like 2 health, and Recombobulator comes out and turns them into another giant because there's nothing else that costs the same as a giant.
Or turns a 3/3 into a sludge belcher.
Yeah, and it just heals your giant up to full. You know, it's like it's just amazing. You know, those kind of combos are just amazing.
I almost think that maybe that Antique Healbot is actually better almost when in Shaman, because I've always thought Shaman, the thing you struggle with is obviously you want to keep the board, and then you want to just kind of like pick off the guys, that anybody that comes onto the board, make sure that you kill the board first and then hit face. But your issue is sometimes that you have got nothing to heal with too much. You know, you might play, I don't know, that fast heal one that drops out and gives you 3 back, but it ain't the greatest, is it? Whereas this guy could really change it. You know, when you've got that Shaman down to nothing virtually, you think, well, I've got you next turn, dude. And then he brings this bad boy out. And again, by that stage of the game, you're probably playing with 10 mana. He drops out for 5. He's probably going to put something else down, especially if you can get a Taunt Totem up. So that's a look pretty bad. So I think he's been real good. Has anyone seen the Kezan Mystic? It again looks like Mage are playing a lot of that, where that one's coming out every now and then.
What, the one that steals secrets?
Yeah, that one. That I've seen that one. I wondered whether that's because there's a lot of Hunter being played, or maybe it's because it's against other Mage. I've seen
other Mage,
that.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, Jeeves. Not as much as I thought. I thought Jeeves was going to be more.
I think I've not seen him that much, but I have been playing him a lot, and he's not a card where he's just won me the game. You know, like you can drop him in sort of turn 5, turn 6, and when normally you're with the kind of deck you've got him in, you've run out of steam and you're down to your last card, you drop him and you just keep on going. You know, especially again if you're behind some taunts or something, and he wins you the game. You know, like if you spend 2 turns getting 3 cards a turn for him for those 2 turns, and the amount of times as well where my opponent has refuse to kill them because they're low on cards and they want the advantage.
He's just
outstanding. You know, he's just outstanding in that and usefulness in terms of that. Like, and then people figure out, wait a minute, actually my opponent's getting more cards than I'm getting, and now I need to kill him. But by that time you've had like an extra 9-12 cards, and it's like, well, you've lost the game here, dude. You've given me an extra 12 cards, and you've maybe got an extra 8 out of it or something. But I've planned for this guy, so I've made sure to get the maximum cards every turn, and my deck's designed around having lots of stuff I can play that are cheap, so that in the late stages of the game, 3 cards I get, 3 cards I can play. Whereas if the other guy's deck's not designed for that, but he wants to take some advantage from it, he just screws himself over in his indecision, you know.
Yeah. Do you know I've seen the Glaive Zooker in certain Hunter decks? What does everyone think to that one?
Nah, not impressed.
It's all right, man. It's good early game. If you want to, you know, make a minion a bit tougher, I guess, you know, but.
I just prefer the bow. If it was me, a lot of guys used to take one bow. I'd take two maybe now. If you're playing a lot of secrets with Hunter, I'm surprised I saw any, to be honest. I mean, the odd one maybe, but then flame cannon, snow chugger, goblin, beast mage, all
snow,
in mage.
Snow chugger, yeah, that's been an absolute stable. Yeah, that's right.
I bloody hate that card. I panic whenever. I come
so up. Good. He's with three health because he's three health makes him. He's three health makes him. He's so difficult to deal with early in a game. Echo of Medivh, I've not seen much of that kicking about, even though I suppose you can make a sort of hand magey deck that would be really,
it's
really
a good
useful.
Good card, man. It's a good card.
And I think I've made up a sort of a hand magey deck, and I've used it. I managed to get two Molten Giants and a Mountain Giant back in my hands with that card.
That's just game over.
Well, I managed to play both the Molten Giants in that turn. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, because if you're down to 10 health, you play both your Molten Giants, then you play Echo and Medivh, and then you just play them again because they cost zero.
That's it. Yeah. So it's just a 1 minute game again. You know, it's an absolutely 1 minute game because I was playing against another mage and he had a bunch of giants on the field. It just became a big giant off, you know. So I killed his giants with my giants, but still had my giants left. You know, it's just game over now, isn't it?
Maybe in a future episode, I mean, depending on what like listeners want and whatnot, we need to go through some of these cards that are now doing the rounds. We're seeing them on ladder. We know that they're good in tournaments, and we just sort of say why, because, you know, you right from their stats all the way through to the different ways that they're being used.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's I can pretty much, to be honest, sum up my month, my few weeks on ladder based on a deck that's been used in tournaments. Because like I said, I started out messing around with everything and just playing with GVG and just not really going up or down, just sort of 50-50 in it. And then I landed on Paladin, and Paladin was my first ever deck, so I really wanted GVG to boost them. And there's a few key cards that have, and I was playing like a mid-rangey Paladin that one of the American guys, a guy called Chance, who was, we might get him on the podcast, and he was number one on the NA Legend server, and and he was playing more of a mid-range Paladin, which I've actually got on my Twitch. If you go on Twitch.com/BJTheBrave, you can see me. I pretty much climbed from rank 10 down to rank 5 in that one stream with that deck, and it was really, really good, and it was very tempo-based and didn't have any consecrates or equalities. But then just this last 4 or 5 days, I've switched to this control deck, so I just wanted to go through it quick with you. This was run by Faramir, who just won the Tavern Takeover 3 of tournament over Christmas, and he won the final, and this deck really carried him through the tournament quite a lot, and it's a control Paladin deck. And so very quickly just run through the deck, and I'll talk about a couple of key cards. It was 2 Zombie Chows, 2 Equalities, 1 Iron Beak Owl, 2 Knife Jugglers, 2 Shielded Mini Bots, 2 Muster for Battle, 2 Alder Peacekeeper, 1 Big Game Hunter, 2 True Silver Champion, 2 Consecrate, 1 Defender of Argus, 2 Pilot of Shredders, Bolvar, 4 Dragon, 1 Harrison Jones, 1 Lothab, 2 Quartermasters, 1 Sylvanas, 1 Doctor Boom, 1 Leon Hands, and 1 Tyrion Fordling. So this is the deck I've been pretty much playing exclusively since, and I mean, it doesn't really have, I wouldn't say it really has a bad matchup. It's one of those decks that can kind of like do well against everything, and you end up really needing to sort of, you know, it's more about trying to really think through what cards are you playing around, and what, okay, I'm up against Hanlock, I need to make sure that, you know, I only get him to this much health before I'm ready to deal with Molten Giants, and then, you know, so it's kind of like the timing of when you play everything. But some of the GVG cards, some of the combos that have been working really, really well in this. The first one is the shielded mini bots for 2 mana. 2 mana, they come out a 2/2 with Divine Shield. Just a really good early play. Just really good against Zoo, really good against Hunter. And it even does well against things that have, you know, like Franco saying, those awkward 2/3s, because obviously it can hit one. And then it can hit it again because of its Divine Shield. It can hit it again, so it kind of gets a double trade. It's almost like four attack. It's really, really good.
And it's a pain in the ass as I think as an early game, because more than anything, it's just the control that you're able to get against you know, let's say you went first, I went first, I innovated that Ogre Brew out in my list. I'm thinking things look pretty good, don't they? Because I've just innovated that guy out. Have a little go at trying to contend with that end. Well, this guy will kill the Ogre Brew. I mean, yeah, they'll kill each other, but you will kill me. And now I'm like stuck between, well, what do I do? You know, do I try and target this thing? And now if I've got a target, I've got to now use something like Wrath plus my Ogre Brew. And now I've not touched anything else where you could be bringing down your little 1-1 guys or something else is coming. Now my Ogre Brew is injured. He's probably going to get killed by what comes after. So it's such a great way to get control. And speaking as like a druid player this month, I hate that little mini buff to start off with.
It's such a great card. It's one of the best GVG cards. The Argent Squire was always played, which was the old 1-1 drop, which has got Divine Shield. But this is just literally twice as good. I mean, being able to trade with a Knife Juggler and not die for a 2-drop is fantastic. And some people as well. I mean, I'm playing 2 Zombie Chows like Faramir played in his Tavern Takeover deck. But some people, what they're doing is they're playing the Argent Squires and they're playing Annoyatrons, 2 Annoyatrons, which also have Divine Shield, and then they're playing 2 Shielded Mini-Bots. And then what they're doing in their 3-drops is they're playing Blood Knight. So Blood Knights are coming out. Remember, Blood Knight are 3-3, and they get an extra 3-3 per Divine Shield that they destroy when they arrive on the board. So on turn 3, you can have like these 9-9 Blood Knights out. It's horrific. And there's quite a few Torment guys are doing this in their Paladin deck, so that's one to go and try. But a couple of other synergies that are doing really well. I mean, Mustafa Battle is literally, with Quartermaster, is the star of this deck. You know, playing Mustafa Battle, being able to give you 3 cards, and then Quartermaster is just a phenomenal combo. But it's not just that. It's things like you played your Shielded Mini-Bot on turn 2. Turn 3, you play your Mustafa Battle. You now get 1 attack from your weapon with your Shielded Mini-Bot. Means you can deal with a 3-health minion. You've then gained board control because you've now got a 2-2 on the board and 3 1-1s and a weapon in hand. You know, there's so many great combos with it. Another great one that I'm really loving is Knife.
Have you done against Hunter Dude? Like, so I've often, like, when I see that come out, and I've often thought, oh, for fuck's sake, it's a right nightmare. But then I've always thought, oh, wish I had Unleash the Hounds and maybe a Knife Juggler now. That'd be nice. You know what I mean? Like, are you coming up against much Hunter with that kind
of
combo?
I mean, to be honest, it does very well against Hunter. I mean, again, it obviously depends on how the Hunter draws their cards, in what order, and how you draw yours, but my record is over 70% against Hunter, doing really, really well. I mean, Knife Juggler plus Mustafa Battle turn 5 is just horrific for Hunter, because they've got so many minions that have 1 health. And, you know, you're now getting 3 knives thrown as well as what I just said, you know. So there's so many good combos. And the thing is, I've been watching a bit of D2, watching his stream. I really like his stream. And I'm realizing one of the things that he does with the Paladin, where I've been greedy and I'm always trying to get the max value on it, is he'll sometimes just play 1 Silverhand Recruit and then he'll play Quartermaster. He'll just get that. He'll just pay for that 1 buff. And when you think about it, Quartermaster is what is he? He's a 2/5. So if he just buffs 1 Silverhand Recruit, that's like him being a 4/7. For 5 mana. It's not bad, right? Do you see what I mean? So, but you've also got to remember that 2 of that's like, it's like give charge as well, because the Silverhand's already on board. So what D2 will do is he'll just play it with 1 Silverhand Recruit, whereas I'm always real greedy with it and stuff. So I'll definitely send you the link with that. I've just sent you that through. And again, frankly, maybe you could put that one up. The other good combo in this is a couple of things to talk about. One is Dr. Boom. Dr. Boom has just been absolutely amazing. There's been games where I know previously with Control Paladin I would have lost. The games where I'm losing and then I play Dr. Boom and it brings me right back in. And it's such a good... This is why it's in every deck. It's such a good comeback card. It's just phenomenal. It's better than an AoE clear, because it is an AoE clear, essentially. The only thing is, where an AoE is, you can play that. Say I had 8 health, I could play a Flame Strike and it just clears the board. Whereas if I play Dr. Boom and I've got 8 health, I might just die because they'll go to face. But again, Dr. Boom with Knife Juggler, fantastic, because it's 3 minions that go down, so that's 3 more knives that get thrown. You can do Dr. Boom, you can taunt up, you can put Defender of Argos or Shielded what's the two drop one?
Shielded mini bot, is that what you're on about?
No, the two drop taunt guy, sorry. I can't remember what it's called. Sun Fury Protector, that's another... I mean, I don't play Sun Fury in this deck, but that's another good synergy you can do.
You're talking about Annoyatron in GBG, is that what you're talking about?
No, Shielded... Sun Fury Protector, because that can...
Ah, right, down yeah.
So, Dr. Boom's fantastic. Also, another guy, he's not a GVG card, but working really well in this deck is Harrison Jones. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but since GVG's come out, Harrison Jones for me he's one of my clutch cards. I think he's one of the best cards in the game right now. He's just always getting value. The thing with him before was he was good. If you look at the World Championship, he was in so many decks, and this was pre-GVG. He was in so many decks just because of the tech, being able to, you know, kill that... Death's Bite, or Gore Howl, or Doomhammer, you know, or even against Hanlock, against Jiraxxus, killing his weapon. You know, there's so many tech sort of specific moments where it's good. But now Harrison Jones is just, he's just insane. Like, there's almost every game he's getting value. There's something he can do. There's some brilliant synergies in there, and I think it's always been a good deck, the Control Paladin. But for me, the balance of this deck has just been superb, and just doing really, really, really well. It can hold its own better against the aggro. It's brilliant against control. It's just a really, really cool deck, and it's a good one to sort of learn with. Really,
what does it struggle with, and what does it cream?
I think. What have I struggled most with? I think it struggled with was it Shaman I struggled with? I think it struggled with Shaman a little bit. Hanlock as well. It struggled with Hanlock, but again, like, so against Hanlock, then I'm probably at about 40% against Hanlock, but. A lot of it is like there are the games that I've won, the 40% is down to where I've timed it well. Do you know what I mean? So I toyed around with what I did was I dropped a Zombie Chow and I put, if you want to beat Hanlock, drop a Zombie Chow and put a second Big Game Hunter in. That's what I would do.
So you're just running one Big Game Hunter at the moment.
Yeah, but the thing is, you do that, and then what you'll do is you'll get all you'll get is Zoo and Hunter.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
you'll just be wishing you had your zombie. The thing about the Zombie Chows is there's a lot of games where I don't play the second Zombie Chow. I hold him in my hand and I never play him. But the thing about having two of them is that. And our coach, LG, he's talked about this, Dave, hasn't he? About when you're playing ladder, what you need is consistency. Yeah. So if you're going to put a Zombie Chow in your deck because you want him to play in turn one so that you can deal with aggro, then you pick two in your deck because that you're doubling the chances of you actually getting him on turn one. You know? And that, remember that Shaman Burst deck that Savish used, Dave, where he had the double Doomhammer?
Mm.
And no one played double Doomhammer. No one played double Doomhammer. What a wait until then. But... the reason why he won in that tournament, in many respects, was that he always had a Doomhammer when he needed it. I think only one game in the whole tournament did he actually play two Doomhammers, but it meant that you're far more likely to get a Doomhammer. And so that's the problem with Zombie Chow, is as soon as I drop it down to one Zombie Chow, I realize that I just get it at the wrong time more often, or I don't get it at the start, whereas when you've got two, you're far more consistently likely going to get a Zombie Chow in the first 2 to 3 turns of the game.
And all you have to be is just kind of consistent with, making sure that you do not play the second one if it's a bad time. If you're in turn 10, the second Zombie Chow is probably no good for you unless you can silence it or there's something weird with it in some way. The other thing is that, I sometimes think, do you ever watch when you play someone and like, you know, they've got 10 mana and they only play 5 mana. And then they keep a card back. That's disconcerting, that is, because now you're trying to think, fuck, what has he played? What could he possibly have? What's he trying to do? You see what I'm saying? And it can change the way you play because you're trying to play around a card, especially now that we're getting used to this GBG, because we had like 2 or 3 weeks of just playing anything because you didn't really know what they were going to play next. But you're starting to get back into that pattern that I was thinking we were starting to get into when we first started playing, that you can sort of play around cards. And that's why I think the Zombie Chow, the second one that you hold back, can be there. Although sometimes now, if you've seen them roll a first zombie chow, I'm starting to think, because I was playing Shaman before where I'd hold the zombie chow back, I'm thinking, has he got zombie chow in his hand? But you don't know. You don't know what it is that's going on, you know? So I sometimes think that can be that's quite nice. Not if you're miles behind, it's no good, is it? You know, you've lost anyway. But if you're able to just to mess around with the way that your opponent plays, a bit like that Fel Reaver that I spoke about earlier, that's pretty good.
Yeah. There are literally games, Zombie Chow, I really think that Zombie Chow wins you the game. You don't realize it necessarily, you know, but it's what gets the Paladin deck to where it's good. Like, the Paladin's only vulnerable in those first couple of turns, but less so now. I mean, I'm doing really well against Hunter. You know, things like Knife Juggler, Mustafa Battle's massive. Mustafa Battle and Shielded Minibot, they've just totally transformed Paladin's early game. And if you stick two Zombie Chows in there as well, I mean, how do you beat that early game?
Yeah.
You know, that takes some beating. And especially when you consider that, you know, mid game, Paladins have got things like Equality, Consecrate, you know, True Silver Champions. It's quite easy for Paladin to control the aggro boards, unless you're really, really unlucky with your card draw. Anyway, so that's what I've been playing on the ladder. But let's just wrap up by talking a little bit about League. This I'll kick off. I mean, this week in the League, I played against Jose, and I opened up with a Warrior deck that I was running, which was standard Control Warrior, and he had Shaman, and I won that game. He then the interesting thing about the League is how people choose to match up. I always think, you know, like when you beat them, what are they going to play now to counter my deck? And he chose a mage to counter my warrior, and I think it was a bit of a sort of GVG and mech mage, and he actually beat my control warrior. And then I just went hunter. Hunter beat his mage, and then beat his paladin to, and that was just the traditional hunter, Dave. You know, the sort of face hunter.
Back in the day, Hunter.
It's actually called old school now on my deck. It's called old school.
Old school. 3 weeks old. Old
3 weeks old. Yeah, I only learned the deck 3 weeks ago, but it's old school now. Old school. And that brought me home. So I got a 3-1 win this week against Jose. That's all up on my Twitch, and I'm playing. I think it's Rowan. I'm playing tomorrow night. So I'll let you know how I get on with that. Have you guys played any League games? Did you play League games this week?
No, I'm too ignorant, I think, to be playing League games quick enough. I think I'm behind by like two games, I think. Like I've played one, I think, and that was weeks ago. I think GBG had only just dropped, or dropped a week prior or something like that.
Mm.
But that's it. No, I haven't played any, dude.
Get on with it. Franco, what about you?
last game I had was against Christoph. And it was funny because I was just in the depths of Pirate fucking lands, so like I just had no decks. I was like, I know I can't use these
did
decks.
You use the pirate deck?
No, I know I can't use these decks. Like I thought about the warrior deck for a second. I thought, nah, because I know that once I get up to the decent sort of ranks, it just doesn't, it's kind of 50-50 against everything. I thought, oh no, I can't do that. So I literally had to say him, like, give me 10 minutes so I can make three decks up. So I went online and just like went, right, three decks, give me three decks. And I think I just made up decks that I already knew. So it was like Zoo and a sort of Crusher Mage deck and a Paladin deck, and I just get smashed 3-1, because I was just so out of practice, you know. I'd spent a couple of weeks doing nothing but immersing myself in Pirates, that when it came round to it, I was like, I don't even know what matchup was good against what here. And I didn't have my head screwed on, but hopefully the next League game I'll actually have some counters, and so that when he bans a deck, I don't have to then go and make just another deck up. Yep, so that was me. That's my whole League experience. Oh, and it's on my Twitch as well. It's my Twitch is at Project Hearthstone Franco, all one word. It's if you want to see someone fail horribly and flounder, then I'm the feed to be tuned into.
Project Hearthstone Franco. I'm gonna have a look.
That's the one, yeah.
Cool. Okay, so next week I think we're gonna be joined by LJ, who is a guy who Dave and I have been getting coaching from, and he's got a fantastic YouTube channel. He's got quite a big following. He also finished top 16 legend on the NA server, And he's a really good player. He's very, very well known for Arena, but he's obviously a really good constructor player as well. So we will be questioning him. And if you are new to the game, you know, you should be able to pick up some pretty useful hints and tips. Because, I mean, we're talking about it, we love this game, we love talking about it, but really we're still learning, right? You know, we're amateurs compared to the pros.
Yeah, you two are still learning. I'm in the process of not learning much more.
Yeah. Okay. Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still there, mate? I thought you cut off. I cut out a second ago.
I was just about to put in. Gotta go, kids. But go on. Yeah.
And we know you're on a busy schedule. So thanks very much for tuning in, guys. And we'll speak to you next week.
Yeah. Right, see you all next week. Bye 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 bye.
Whoa! Legendary.
Okay, folks, that's this week's show. We'd appreciate any and all feedback, so please feel free to get in touch via the Facebook page, Project Hearthstone, where you can like us and let us know how dumb we all sound. Myself and BJ now have a Twitch feed, details of which should be in the show notes, so if you want to know how BJ is getting on in his daily quest to become legendary, or see the results of my challenge, you can catch us there. Our webpage is operational, and as predicted, is currently a bag of shite. You can keep up to date with the episode releases there and even download them to listen to as you go about your daily grind, but that's pretty much all it's good for so far. On next week's show, we'll have an interview with BJ and Dave's Hearthstone coach, LJ, who's a top 16 legendary player and really knows his shit. So if you want some real tips on how to pick up your Hearthstone game, then don't miss that. So, I'll see you soon.
And now, the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friends, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I've traveled each and every highway, and more. Much more than this, I did it my way. Now get to the chopper!